midst of a serious financial crisis, and the federal government is responding with decisive action. More banks could fail, including some in your community. The stock market would drop even more, which would reduce the value of your retirement account. The value of your home could plummet. Foreclosures would rise dramatically.
I'm directing my campaign to work with the Obama campaign and the Commission on Presidential Debates to delay Friday night's debate until we have taken action to address this crisis.
With respect to the debates, it's my belief that this is exactly the time when the American people need to hear from the person who, in approximately 40 days, will be responsible for dealing with this mess. Presidents are going to have to deal with more than one thing at a time. It's not necessary for us to think that we can only do one thing and suspend everything else.
You're locked in to LA Talk Radio. You have the right to an attorney, and you may need one, as Back Time takes a look at the legal decisions of September 25th. In 1978, Melissa Ludke, a writer for Sports Illustrated, filed a suit in U.S. District Court. The result was that Major League Baseball could not bar female writers from the locker room after the game. Sandra Day O'Connor was sworn in as the first female justice on the U.S. Supreme Court today in 1981. And in 1992 in Orlando, Florida, a judge ruled in favor of 12-year-old Gregory Kingsley. He'd sought a divorce from his biological parents. That's Back Time for September 25th. This is your announcer speaking.
It's the Onion Radio News. A new Taco Bell menu item is ready for testing on humans. This is Doyle Redland reporting. Food scientists at Taco Bell's top-secret border lab facility in southern Arizona have announced that the Taco Bell Enchilito Melt will be tested on human subjects at participating restaurants throughout the U.S. Dr. Juan Jones heads up the taco testing and development team.
We will be closely observing what effects the mildly spicy sauce and melted cheese product will have on humans before we go any further with our plans to add shredded lettuce and nearly ripened tomatoes.
Taco Bell researchers theorize that consumers may be able to withstand the effects of the Enchilito Melt in combination with a medium-sized drink and a bean burrito for just $3.49. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Hockey Player who gets the governor's daughter pregnant. On the ice, you're really good with your stick. In the backseat of a car, you're even better. Well, kid, you add no meaning to... He shoots! He scores!
Straight through the five hole.
What the puck were you thinking?
I'm surprised the governor didn't shoot you, yeah.
So if you're the first Republican woman to be selected for vice president and have that moment tarnished by a horny Hansen brother... Don't penalize. Celebrate Mr. Hockey Player who gets the governor's daughter pregnant. A real American hero.
Mr. Hockey Player gets the governor's daughter pregnant.
Apparently you don't play for a team called the Trojans.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, September 25th.
Hello, hello.
And good morning, Susie.
How are you today?
Good. Nice to have you back.
Thank you, thank you.
Yes, we apologize to everybody for not being here yesterday. But
it was my fault.
but Susie needed some rest and
much
it looks like
rest.
You got it.
I got it two nights ago, but then again, not last night. But but it ended up being worth it because I slept in yesterday for a little bit, and I woke up and I was well rested. And then I spent the rest of the day studying my ass off for my biology exam.
Wow.
And I ended up getting an A.
Really? They give you the grade right away?
No, but I harassed the professor because I kind of have like test taking anxiety. Yeah. I'm one of those people that even if I'm really, really prepared, I go into the test and I kind of freak out. My palms are sweaty and my heart's racing.
Really?
Like, even if I know I'm going to get an A on the test, like, I still feel this way.
Yeah, you're nervous. But it's a good nervous, you know? I think it gets the adrenaline going and stuff, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But then sometimes I'll go back and I'll second-guess myself, and that's what I thought I did last night. And so the professor was like, oh, my God, calm down. He's like, you look like you're going to have a heart attack after the test. My hands were, like, swollen and, like, sweaty and purple.
Oh, wow.
So I asked him, I was like, can you please run my Scantron now? And he's like, Susie, he's like, no. He's like, that's not fair to the rest of the class. But so at 12:30 last night, he finally finished grading the papers, and he sent me an email saying, congratulations, you got the highest grade in the class.
Really? Yes, wow, yes, yes. Susie, I'm fucking proud of you.
Oh, me too. I knew I could do it.
Well, how many students are in there? Three?
No, 35 in that class, too. Come on, that's a bit of an achievement.
You beat 35 people. That's pretty good.
But I do have to say one thing. There are these two kids in the class. I call them Flick and Flack, or Fad and Nad.
You always like to name things and people.
I know. Well, I don't know. They're these two boys, and they're both like they're not identical twins, but they look and dress exactly the same. Mm-hmm. They're just two friends that have kind of latched onto each other. But they never come to class, and when they do, they just kind of like fuck off and you know, don't pay any attention. One of them decides to sit directly next to me during the test yesterday, because I always raise my hand and seemingly know all the answers.
Yeah.
And so he basically told me, like, right off the bat that he was sitting next to me because I knew all the answers.
Really? And he told you right away he's going to cheat, pretty much.
Yes.
Really?
And so I was, like, completely horrified.
Yeah.
I mean, who has the audacity, to, like, you know, it's not like he's my friend and, you know, I'm trying to help him out because he had a rough night and couldn't study.
Yeah.
He's a little shit kid who wants to, like, come to school and just, like, you know, ride on other people's backs.
Wow. The fucking balls that people have, you know?
I can't
believe it. So, did you move?
No, I stayed in my seat, like, exactly where I was, and then I kept, like, you know, filling in my Scantron with my arm covered over it, and then I would slide the test over it. And at the end of the test, he had the balls to be like, thanks for covering up your exam the whole time. Jeez. He actually was, like, pissed off at me because I wouldn't let him cheat.
You should have told him, do you want to tell that to the professor?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell him that?
I mean, the nerve of some people.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that.
So he's complaining, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Why didn't you help him, Susie? I mean, shame on you.
Because I have been getting, like, no sleep, and I had to stay up all night and all day studying, so fuck him.
Yeah. Fuck him is true.
Totally fuck him.
Yeah.
I don't understand why people like that even go to school. Like, why are you going to school if you don't want to actually learn anything?
Because they don't want to get into real life and work and shit, you know?
Well, I don't either. That's why I've been in school for 10 million years.
Okay, so there you go. There's the answer.
But I don't know. I'm in school for the sake of knowledge.
Yes.
I suppose.
So you're in the new place?
Yes, mostly. I actually took off from work tonight, too. So after the show, I'm going to head down to Venice and move my kitties, my lizards, and the random miscellaneous shit that I have left in that apartment.
Yeah.
Minus Ron's and his father.
Right. Then where are they going?
They're still going to stay there until, I think they leave for New York on Monday.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting. But Franzi and I are in a little bit of a tiff right now. Who knows how it'll play out.
Yeah.
I stopped by the house yesterday to feed the kitties before I went to school. And yes, this is psycho girlfriend behavior, and I know it, but I read his text messages on his phone.
Why did you do that?
Because when you don't really trust someone, you sometimes like to see what you can catch them in.
Yeah.
You know?
You know what my motto is? If you don't trust someone, don't be with them. How can you be with someone you don't trust? I mean, it's very hard, you know, because you never know if it's the truth or not the truth. And
well, this is what Janique said. I was talking to my best friend Janique today, and when I told her what happened, well, let me tell you what happened first. Okay. So he had a text message on his phone from a mutual friend of ours, but it's someone that he had been sleeping with when we first started dating. And the sleeping with her kind of overlapped with me, and I found out about it, and I got really fucking pissed at the beginning of our relationship. And so then she's saying in the text, like, oh, I can't wait for you to be in New York next week. You can stay in my room with me at the hostel. Da-da-da-da-da. There's not much room in a room at a hostel.
No.
And then she's saying, oh, many kisses on the text. And he's sending a message back being like, oh, I can't wait to see you either. Kisses, kisses, kisses. Mm-hmm. Obviously, what am I going to think?
Yeah.
That they're going to go fuck.
Right.
So Janique was really funny when I was telling her this. She's like, I just don't understand it. I don't know who else in the world would want to have sex with the guy.
Yeah.
You know, I thought for sure that you were one of the only crazy ones.
Yeah.
I'm like, thank you, Janique. But, so we're in a bit of a tiff over that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else to say about this. I mean, you know that you're in a dysfunctional relationship and you want to stay. And the funny thing is you're being naive that he's going to stay faithful to you while he's away for a couple
of
months.
I'm not being naive. I'm very skeptical. That's why I sneak looks at his text messages.
Yeah, and how is that going to help?
Well, I find out things like this, and now who knows? Maybe the dynamic of our relationship will not be what it is.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Which is what?
I don't know. I'll be quiet over there.
All right, I'll be quiet. So, so you know what's funny here is they're having a client appreciation day up here today, right?
I guess we weren't invited.
And this is like so fucking ludicrous because, you know, they changed the guy that's in charge here. Never bothered to introduce himself or anything, but he hides behind his email and all that and sending me letters that they need us to leave and all that stuff. So this is their client appreciation, right? If they could only start with saying hi and introducing themselves.
For starters, it might be nice.
So I'm glad we're leaving here. You know, I mean, I'm looking forward to finding another place and stuff.
What the hell are they doing for Client Appreciation Day?
Some appetizers or something. Who knows?
Really? Were we invited?
Well, they put the sign in the kitchen. I don't know. But somehow I don't think we are.
They probably have a special plate for us and it's like full of arsenic.
Yeah.
We're going to be poisoned.
I know. What I don't understand is, you know, I'm looking for at ads for places. And the company that manages here has a few other buildings. And these people, just by their ads, they're fucking desperate for tenants. And here they're throwing people out, you know.
Wow.
So fuck them. You know, and but we're gonna have to find a different arrangement. I mean, we have a lot of people coming in and out.
We definitely do.
So I don't think executive offices is the answer for us.
I think we need a soundproof studio.
Either that, but like a self-contained place, you know, where we have a waiting area and all that.
We definitely
stuff.
Need to be contained.
Yeah.
On many, many levels.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that's where I'm going to be in the next month or so, looking for places.
Well, good luck to you on that search, because I know how difficult my search was. I hope you run into some interesting sex dungeons. And
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And but, you know, we have to really think. There's so many people on the station now that, you know, some people are going to be inconvenienced and stuff, you know, because of the move. But what are you going to do? You can't please everybody, you know.
I know.
So I'll try to find sort of a central place and stuff, you know. I don't know if I want to stay downtown, you know.
Where would you go? Maybe Santa Monica would be nice.
No, never. I would never do this to anybody.
Why?
Santa Monica is the worst fucking place to get to, traffic-wise. It really is. I mean, believe me, I'd live on that side of town if it weren't for that. But the traffic is horrendous. You said that the other day. You know, all the traffic around the 405, whether you're taking Sunset or Wilshire or Olympic or Santa Monica, whatever, it gets so friggin' congested there that I'm just not interested, you know? So,
I don't really find the traffic's bad in Santa Monica. I don't know. Like, Bel Air, where I moved to, I swear to God, I picked the worst place in the world traffic-wise.
Well, I'm saying getting to Santa Monica. The place itself is not busy, but getting there, you know, and I'm just not going to do that. There's no way. That's one place I'm not going, in Santa Monica. And I like the area. Don't get me wrong, you know. I mean, I used to work there, but it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So that's L.A. for you, you know. And so I want to announce here also, and you probably saw the email I sent, that we're going to launch another channel on a radio station. So we're going to have an entire new schedule, and we're going to have so much more, so many different shows that it's just going to be, like, amazing, you know. And
I know, that's crazy.
People won't have a reason to go anywhere but here.
They won't ever have to leave their house.
Yeah. So you can see why I'm not getting any sleep. You know, I've just got too much on my fucking plate, man. You know? I don't know. But we're getting the helper today, and
is he coming in today?
Yeah, he's going to be in today. You'll probably meet him if you stay just a couple minutes. But
he's not coming to be on the show?
No, not on the show. In fact, I forgot. I should have had him come in, but we had a guest scheduled, and then they canceled and, you know, all that, so... But now, yeah, we're going to make sure we have backup guests and everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, we got to be a little more professional about this. But we are growing. I mean, you know, it's growing pains, you know? You have to do things yourself until somebody comes in and helps you out, you know?
Definitely.
So, I wanted to talk. I mean, obviously, we can't ignore what's going on with the economy now.
Believe it or not, I do get Newsweek. Every
you
week.
Do? Okay.
I just haven't really had any time to read it. And so
no, I haven't either.
I left a little bit early today to come down here, and I was stuck in traffic on the 10, I got to read like 4 different articles
in
serious? My Newsweek while I was stuck in traffic driving like down the 10. That's probably not a good thing to say that I'm like reading Newsweek while I'm driving on a freeway. As I'm watching other people crash into each other and cause accidents, and I'm happily sitting there reading my reading my Newsweek.
God, you're really pressed for time, aren't you?
I am that pressed for time that I'm forced to read my Newsweek while I'm driving.
Yeah. You got to take it easy on yourself. You got to collapse.
Oh, I know. So anyway,
I wanted to talk about the economy for a second.
You know, I was reading articles
some clips,
on that.
But the most bizarre thing is Bush now trying to get us out of this, you know. And the thing is that with the economy, you know, usually it's not like one person responsible for it. You know, it's like ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like
cyclical.
Yeah, exactly. And so these things happen, you know, and the economy does get fucked up. But often a president does have maybe something to do with it, you know. So you know that he's going to try and cover his ass before he leaves office. And I mean, I've screamed for years, this guy is going to destroy our fucking country. And nobody was listening. You know, and sure enough, man, he's fucked us up in so many different ways, and now we're feeling it. You know, so now they want to inject $700 billion into the economy. Now, where do you think that money's coming from? It's coming from our pockets.
Yeah.
And but what baffles me about this is that the Republicans are they're pro like hands off government. You know, it's mm-hmm. like. Small government, you know, don't get involved, let the market. So why are you getting involved in this now, you know? Because it is the Republicans now, and they have to protect their president. So suddenly, yeah, they're all for this. But this is fucking bullshit.
I know. It is pretty hypocritical.
Yeah, you know, and this is some kind of a fucking president we've got, you know. And so now George McCain is saying...
George McCain.
Okay, John McCain he wants to put off the debate from tomorrow, that's scheduled for tomorrow with Obama, because he claims that the economy needs his attention. Now, my question is, what the fuck is he going to do to fix this by himself? You know, do we really need him there right now? You know?
No, not at all. There's probably nothing he could do at all.
No, so he's bailing out of this fucking debate, so he has some more time to prepare, I'm sure. You know, so this is all like fucking bullshit, you know, and we need to, DJ, if you're listening or something, or if he comes in early, we're going to talk to him about this, because I'm sick of him talking about how great this government is. You know, it's fucking bullshit.
McCain was saying that our economy had like some strong fundamentals underneath it.
Yeah, I don't know which ones, but then they had to clarify and everything. You know?
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, but fuck that. So, but you know, so I don't know what's going to happen with the economy. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. I mean, you know, I've just got a little bit of stock in the market, and I'm fucking hit big time.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, fucking big time. You know, and I mean, stocks are like down like 50% of what they were like a year ago.
You know,
that's a lot of fucking money. You know?
I can't. And
I mean, this, you know, at the end of last year, stocks were really doing well, and now it's like in the garbage. You know, investment banking.
What are most people doing? Are they freaking out and selling?
Yeah.
So no one's holding on. Like people aren't holding on to things.
But it's a seesaw thing, you see, because what happens is everybody freaks out, they sell, and then the bargain hunters go in and they buy.
Mm-hmm.
So the markets are like a seesaw every day. One day it's down 200 points, the next day it's up 300 points, and it's just like a roller coaster, you know. So it's crazy to get in now, but.
Do you think the government's doing the right thing by stepping in and doing this?
I think. They need to step in, but I don't think they're doing the right thing. You know, there's other ways to do things. You know, and I don't think they're focusing on the right place. It's not really the show to do it in. You know, I mean, I'm not going to get too serious about this. I wanted to cover some of the things that are going on. You know, and but you know, some people, it's like with a bank. You know, you have like only up to $100,000 insured by the government. Everything you have over that, you lose if the bank folds. So a lot of people are losing money that way, you know. And all the big institutions, you know, like Lehman Brothers and Fannie Mae and all these. I mean, these are American institutions, and they're
I actually
gone.
Didn't even know what Fannie Mae was today until I was reading Newsweek, and then I had to Google it on my phone while I'm driving, so now I'm reading Newsweek, seeing Fannie. And then we had mentioned it the other day, and I was like, shit, I meant to look that up.
Yeah. So what have you come up with?
It was something started by FDR during the Great Depression to help people, help Americans that couldn't necessarily afford to buy a home become homeowners.
Right. Yeah. So they help them with mortgages and things like that. So it's government supported, and so I mean, even that is like, you know, they're like insolvent now, you know. So it's it's pretty scary, you know. It's real, and. So
I guess I'm glad I rent right now.
Yeah, you know. Excuse me. We're thinking of getting a house, and but at this point, I'll just wait till the prices go even lower. You know.
True.
I mean, it's like.
Can you get a good deal on like a foreclosed house or something right now?
Yeah, you can do that too. Of course.
I felt so badly. Like I was watching this commercial a while back, and they just had pictures of like all these people's homes that have been foreclosed on, and they're like, it used to be like $450,000. Now you can get it for like $110,000. And like they just kept like scrolling through all these homes, and I just kept picturing like the sad faces of the families as they're closing the doors for the last time.
I know.
And I was like, I would feel awful going in there and like poaching someone's house, you know. In like killing, I don't know, stealing someone else's dream that they like worked hard on and like struggled and, you know, where they planted their flowers.
I know, it's very sad, you know?
It's really sad. I mean, even last year when I traded in my old Volkswagen Jetta for my my Mini Cooper, my Jetta was having like massive electrical failure problems. So my mechanic was like, Susie, I'm going to reset all the buttons that are going off because my car was like beep, 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 beep. And it was like, you will like self-destruct in like 10 minutes. But so my mechanic was like, I'm going to reset the light, and then, you know, you're going to have like 45 minutes, you know, to get your car over to the dealership, have them do the inspection, because, I mean, it looks fine. It just wasn't fine. And then once they say everything is quote-unquote fine, then you'll be able to get like the highest trade-in value for your car. So instead of getting $10, which is what the car is probably worth, you know, they ended up giving me $5,000 towards the car.
Yeah.
But so I felt so unethical. When I did that, I was like, I'm cheating the used car people. I'm like, I am an awful human being. You know, as soon as I drive off the lot in my nice new shiny car, you know, they're going to turn that one on and it's going to explode. But I kind of feel the same way with the housing market and what people are doing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's sort of like preying on carcasses or something.
Yes. You know, you feel like a hyena and you just feel like slimy and wrong. And people kept telling me, they're like, Susie, stop feeling bad for cheating the used car company people. Like everyone, like if people could do that, they would do it in a million years because that's what they do to most people.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Oh, yeah, they fuck you big time. You know, I used to sell cars.
Did you really?
Not used ones, but they had a used lot with it. And yeah, I mean, it's a lot. They make a lot more money on used cars because you can't really look up the prices, you know. I mean, yeah, you can look at a blue book and stuff, but it doesn't matter. When you look at prices of new cars, they should all be the same, you know. So, yeah, and today when people buy cars, I hated it because people come in with all the information, so you can't really make any money on them, you know.
Yeah.
But with used cars, man, they give you like nothing, and then they price it up, and they sell you a piece of shit, you know. And yeah, so you got to be careful with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I feel badly for whoever has my Jetta out there. Yeah. I'm sorry. I really did feel bad.
Yeah.
I still do.
Yeah, but fuck you. Now you're driving it.
Oh. Well, hopefully the car people fix it up before they resell it, you know, don't they? And someone's going to take it for a test drive, and they're going to see it like on the verge of like exploding.
Yeah, I just think they put like Band-Aids on it or something. I don't really think they fix it.
Oh.
I don't know. But but it's bullshit, you know? I mean, we returned the leased car to BMW. That car is fucking immaculate. I mean, I even put, like, super premium gas on it the whole time.
Why?
Right, to take care of it because they said it's a high-performance engine, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, to keep it going. So I did. And the car is, like, spotless, scratchless, everything, right? You take it in there, and they fucking, like, tear it down to pieces and start charging you for every little nick and scratch and stuff, and I was so fucking pissed, you know.
Are you
and
kidding?
Then they turn around and sell it. They didn't have to do anything to that car to resell it. It looks brand new.
I've seen the inside of your car, so yeah. I totally believe
you. Yeah, I mean that car was like brand new, 3 years old. So fuck it.
Wow.
You know, yeah, so I have no sympathy for these.
What a shady profession.
It is, you know, and after a year, I mean, I'm surprised I lasted a year, but I really wanted to.
Selling cars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really, or trying to sell cars. I never really sold that many.
Really?
Because I'm too honest, you know.
Aww. Yeah. I know, I would be the worst used car salesman, too.
I know, you know, so I hated it, but I wanted to prove to myself that I'm not going to quit, I'm going to stick with it and all that stuff. But then I was getting pissed at customers.
Oh, you start yelling at them.
Yeah, when they were arguing with me or trying to take me for a fool or something, I'd get irritated.
Take you for a fool? Why do they have to fool you? You're the one that's supposed to be fooling them.
No, because they try to get it for as cheap as they can, obviously. You know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cars.
So we have a couple people, famous people, coming out of the closet, right?
Clay Aiken,
right? And I mean, what's with that? I mean, he talks gay, right?
He totally is gay.
Yeah.
What's it say here? It says now that Clay Aiken is out and his story is in People magazine, we're getting all the details. He says he struggled for most of his life to accept his sexuality because he thought it was just a phase that he was going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course that's much more difficult to deal with in conservative North Carolina than it is in Hollywood. And that's where Clay realized that there are normal people who are gay, and he was able to deal with it.
Yeah, but he's not normal.
No, he's definitely not.
But, I mean, he's weird.
He kind of really creeps me out, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got that one song that was like, you know, if I were invisible, I'd like watch you in your room. And that always just really creeps me out. It's like, yeah. If you were invisible, you would like be hiding in someone's room just like staring at them. Like, that is just really, really disturbing.
I know. But I think he's the only one that was, like, number two and really made it more than the number one winner, no? Or has
Kelly
there been
Clarkson?
No, it was Ruben, that big, fat guy.
Kelly Clarkson wasn't the number one winner?
Yeah, she was in the first year. But I think the second season it was Ruben.
I don't know. Once things go past the first season, I kind of...
Yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, I haven't kept up, but I remember the first two seasons, and I think that's where Clay Aiken was. He was number two on the second season.
I was reading something in here, too, that said, you know, we should have known Clay Aiken was gay as soon as we realized he didn't have sex with Paula Abdul, or when he, like, turned her down.
Yeah. But, I mean, he's so insisted that he's not, you know, and the denial and everything. But you know what? It's got to be hard to... realize you're gay and not to want to admit it.
Absolutely. You know? I actually had a girlfriend of mine. Well, she's still a girlfriend of mine, and she's living in North Carolina now. But she was dating a guy from Marblehead when I lived in Marblehead, and she was living in New York. And so she would come up to visit all the time. And everyone in our life was like, Pete's gay. Pete is gay. Your boyfriend is gay.
Really?
And she was just like, no. What are you talking about? What are you going? You're absolutely crazy. So he went to go visit her in New York City. And while they were mid-fuck, you know, he's like, baby, I have something to tell you. And she was like, what? And he's like, I'm gay. And she's
really?
Like, what? Like, this is the time you choose to tell me this? Like, while we're having sex? Are you kidding me? But then, like, he rescinded his gayness because, like, he didn't want to, like, deal with the repercussions of, like, his family and his friends knowing and everything. Right. So then he tried to, like, take it back and say, I'm not gay. Once you say that, you can't take it back.
No,
there is no taking that back.
No, it's like it's like trying to put the toothpaste back.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
No. Unringing a bell.
Yes, can't be done. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of. I think there's a lot of merit to what people say. You know.
Yeah.
A lot of people can judge the book by its cover, so to speak.
So no, but let me ask you this. I mean, if he's gay, how can he get it up for a woman?
That's what I was wondering too. Mm-hmm. And then he tried to take it back and say that he didn't know if he was gay, that he thought he might be, but he wasn't sure.
Right.
So I don't know. Maybe she did like being fucked in the ass, so maybe he just closed his eyes and pretended it was a guy. Who knows? You know, he did like her doggy style, face down.
Glued some hair there around the asshole.
Uh-huh. Quite possible.
Oh,
don't
man.
Look at me, baby. Close your eyes. Just be quiet.
Yeah.
That's so wrong.
Yeah, gay sex is just so wrong.
Wow.
You know?
I don't know how people do that. I really don't.
I know. But, you know, some people say that everybody is bi. Do you believe that? I mean, with you, that is the case, right?
I don't even know if I'm necessarily bi.
Yeah.
I was actually thinking about it today, and actually last night, too, because there are a couple girls in my biking community, and Franzi's always telling me about all this. He's like, I'm like, oh, well, this girl's kind of cute, and that girl is really cute, and he, you know, I'm just saying, you know, in general, I just think right. they're, like, cute in their personality and the way they look, and, you know, we all ride bikes, so we're all kind of, like, tomboyish in a weird sense anyway, mm-hmm. so that kind of gives them a little bit of an extra appeal to me, because I like to be the girl in a lesbian relationship, right. and so all of these girls are kind of, like, tomboyish, mm-hmm. Which I like, but so, I don't know,
Yeah, it's amazing you like tomboys, you know? Which is going to lead us to Lindsay Lohan in just a second, but go ahead and finish what you wanted to say, because, you know, so you like them like boyish and everything.
Yes. And? But so Phronsie's always like, oh, well, she definitely likes girls, and, you know, she thinks you're really cute, and he never, like, will come out and just say they want to sleep with you. So he's always trying to go about it in, like, a circuitous way, being like, yep, well, she thinks you're really cute, well, I know for certain that she goes that way.
Really?
But I still, I don't know what it is. Like, I can't decide. My lesbian years, I feel like they were so long ago.
Yeah. So, and that's what I'm thinking. I think you did it sort of out of no choice, you know, since you're surrounded by women. You know, almost like in prison, you know. It's like you don't have a choice. So you have sex with whatever you can get. But yeah, I think you like guys too much.
I definitely like guys too much. But I'm not opposed. There's something very... I don't know, just very, like, gentle and mm-hmm. sensuous about kissing a woman.
Right.
As opposed to, like, having, like, the upper hair stubble, the lip stubble, and...
That's true.
You know, the abrasiveness of, like, men.
Yeah.
So...
What about facial hair? Do you like facial hair?
It depends on the guy, believe it or not.
So whiskers is not... Well, okay, you're saying you don't mind it, it's just that it's gentle.
Like, a full-blown beard, I really don't like, because it reminds me of, like, a big bearded clam. It's like, it looks like you have a vagina on your face. That's disgusting.
Yeah.
I always, like, Franz always, like, grows his in, like, really, really thick sometimes. And, you know, he's got his Jufro going on, even though he's not Jewish. But I make him, like, shave it down with a razor. Not, like, off, but just kind of, like, thin it out a little bit. Or else it really does look like vagina.
Really?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm like, you know, if I wanted to be a lesbian, I could find a nice beard to make out with down there from someone else. But, But yeah, a little bit of stubble is kind of, it's kind of sexy and turns me on a little bit. But if it's too abrasive and it starts cutting at my face, no way.
No, but beards or mustaches don't really cut you.
Mustaches, I mean, I don't like.
Oh, you don't like
just,
mustaches?
Not just a mustache. That's right. Creepy.
Yeah, it is.
Ew.
It is. You notice it's only people from certain countries or in certain professions that have
No, them. I can't stand it's it. Mustaches very... have become cool these days.
They have?
Like, because they're so ugly and they're so creepy, uh-huh. they've kind of become cool.
Really?
Like, guys do, they do Maystache. Mm-hmm. They grow Maystaches in the month of May.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I know, like, towns and towns across this country where people... You know, whole groups of men will grow their mustache.
Really?
yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah.
And annoys the living shit out of me. But and then they've got another corporation called Mustaches for Kids. Mm-hmm. Grow a mustache for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a fundraiser kind of thing, and you grow a mustache
to
raise money for kids. How does that raise money for kids?
I don't know. I mean, it's unique. It's... You know, there's some novelty to it.
Can you imagine, like, a room of, like, I don't know, 100 men that are growing mustaches for small children?
Yeah.
That just sounds off and wrong in so many ways.
I know. But if you noticed, and I don't know what it is, it has to be cultural, the facial hair thing. Because if you look like, for example, Mexican men, right?
Mm.
Almost all of them seem to have mustaches.
Oh,
you know?
And they look so awful.
Then, yeah, they do. And then people from Arabic countries also. They almost always tend to have a mustache. I mean, it's amazing to me. And then some countries, they all have beards, you know, like if you go to Iran or something, you know. You know, beards everywhere. So,
well, isn't that like a religious thing?
I don't know. Maybe it is, you know. But I can't imagine a mustache would be a religious thing. You know, maybe a beard. Because then, you know, if you're not supposed to shave, then you don't shave the whole face. Not just part of it, you know.
No, I definitely cares? Would not think the mustache would be religious. Just just the beard for some reason. I don't know why that sounds funny, but it does.
I know, but you know, like in the 30s and stuff.
I wonder
I think,
if the Muslim Barbie and Ken, you know, they said they're pretty much the same as ours, but they're just like, they have cultural adaptations. So I wonder if that Muslim Barbie or Ken has a mustache.
Well, I don't know. Let's find out.
Hey, girls, don't play with infidel dolls. Get the one that's approved by Muslim clerics. Talking Iranian Barbie.
Do you want to play dress up? Let's cover our bodies from head to toe.
Yes, Talking Iranian Barbie extols the virtues of life in Iran.
I do only what my husband says, or I will be stoned.
Hours of fun can be had when you play with talking Iranian Barbie and her husband, talking extremist Ken.
Death to Israel! Death to America! Barbie, make me some goat soup or you will be beaten again.
So, avoid execution and make sure you get the new talking Iranian Barbie. Talking extremist Ken dolls sold separately, even though they were promised to each other at a young age.
Oh, my God.
Okay, does that answer your question?
No, I still don't know what he looks like. Does he have a mustache or not?
He probably does.
Oh, can you imagine those poor kids growing up over there, or the women, or what their life must be like?
I know.
What a miserable existence.
Yeah.
I was going to go to Dubai at one point with Michael, and I don't know. I was just, when it came down to it, I finally decided that that probably would not be the best place for me.
No.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. And you know what? It's not that they don't like Westerners. It's just that the women turn them on, and they don't want that to happen.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I mean, why do you think they cover them up like this so they won't be tempted, you know?
What's wrong with a little temptation every now and then?
Well, it's against their religion.
Actually, you know what? Maybe we should start doing that over here. There seems to be way too much temptation going on in this country, in this world.
I know.
Oh.
I know. It's like I'm hearing on the radio, there's a commercial from Ashley Madison, which is the site for cheaters. And so now they have like the CEO of the company actually talking to you about it and explaining like the whole mechanics of it.
What?
And yeah.
What kind of mechanics are there?
That you need to cheat if you're not happy.
Well, why don't you get out of it?
Good question. Because then Ashley Madison won't make any money.
Ay, ay, ay. I can't believe there's a website like that actually exists.
But I hear there's all kinds of like scams and shit going on there. You know, I mean, you can imagine. And, you know, people that pose as real people. You know, I mean, if people do it on MySpace, you know, they're going to do it there. Mm. And Facebook and stuff, you know.
I actually joined... Back probably like 5 or 6 years ago, I thought my boyfriend was cheating on me. Oh, excuse me. Back in Marblehead. And so, and I thought this because I went on his computer and like, you know, I clicked on the history and it was like match.com. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, really? So you're going to match.com? Okay, well, I'm going to catch you. Yeah. And so I actually went and I joined match.com because they wouldn't show me all of the profiles unless I was actually a member of it.
Right.
So I actually had to join match.com to actually go into the archives and, like, search for him. Turns out it was his brother.
Really?
Who's, like, the biggest player in the world who was logging onto match.com from his computer.
Oh.
And, yeah. And then Brian ended up seeing that I was on match.com and then he thought I was cheating on him. And I'm like, no, I just joined because I thought you were cheating on me. So... You know, if you don't have trust, geez.
Yeah, so what does that tell you about Match.com? That probably half the people are attached there anyway, and another half just want sex.
I know.
And that's why you won't find any decent people there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're advocating J-Date, right?
No, I don't know what I'm advocating, actually. I don't know. I had a good experience with it, but I don't know.
Hmm.
You know? Yeah. Actually, Gina Hendricks had a show on online dating yesterday. If someone missed
Hendricks.
That.
Sorry. Why are you laughing at me?
She has a show Wednesday at 11 here on the station. You've met her. You just don't
know. Oh,
remember.
Okay. Gina.
Yeah,
okay.
Gina.
I didn't know her last name.
No.
I thought she was like some famous person that I didn't know.
Well, she's famous now.
Okay.
She does Love Life Makeovers.
Okay.
And, you guys should really catch the archives from yesterday. I liked it, you know. There was this guy who wrote a book. About how to pick up women and blah blah blah. So they were talking about online dating, and which was pretty interesting. I guess some people, when they hang out on those sites for a long time, they learn certain things about them. You know, like tricks and shit. So
what kind of tricks?
Like I don't know, how to land a date or something. You know, or how to get people to respond to you and shit.
Hmm.
You know, you see, you wouldn't know this because when you, like someone like you would go on a dating site, you wouldn't even have to search anybody because everybody would come to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a guy and stuff, it's different, you know. You have to go searching. And
the poor men that are on these sites,
yeah.
I mean.
And the women blow you off for the most part, you know, and shit. Yeah, I didn't like my Match.com experience at all. Thought it was bullshit.
I just feel, I don't know, I always feel so badly, like, when, you know, eHarmony, like, matches me up with all of these guys, and I feel kind of obligated to, like, go through, and actually, the way they have it set up, you can't just look at the picture and be like, next. You actually have to go through and like answer questions about why you're saying I'm not interested in this person.
Really?
And they kind of force you to actually read the information about the person before you can click next.
Yeah.
Which
so they can suggest to you the right people for you.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, because if they find out what you don't like, they're not going to suggest that again.
Yeah.
You know?
But I don't know. I just feel bad. Like, by the time I'm finished reading the profile, I'm like, aw. I'm like, really? You know, he's a martyr? Aw. Or he's this? Or he's the next Mother Teresa? Aw. Well, maybe, you know, maybe even though he's fat and ugly, maybe I should give him a chance.
Yeah, there you
or,
go.
Aw. You know, that's bad for me just because, I don't know, I feel bad for everyone and everything and, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's why I've had so many wonderful different boyfriends in my life.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Michael, by the way, did not like it that you called him geriatric.
Oh, is that what... Did I call him that?
I don't know. So I guess he...
Oh, on the show summary.
On the archive.
Oh, I apologize. Well, you said he was 68, right? Or something.
60.
Oh, 60.
Well, he was 60 when I was 22 when we first started
dating.
Okay,
well, he's 68 now, so shut
up. No, he's 65.
Okay, 65. Sorry, Michael, I apologize. I'll change the word.
Actually, he started... He was kind of laughing about it.
Pre-geriatric.
Pre-geriatric, yes, yes.
No, it just sounded funny, you know.
Oh. And speaking of...
Definitely, everybody that gets offended, please send us an email. We'll fix it for you. Like, not.
But so... actually, I needed to ask you this if you think this was wrong. So that same boyfriend that that cheated on me multiple times in Massachusetts, the one that I joined Match.com to catch cheating on me, but then he thought I was cheating on him. So... Remember when I was broadcasting from Marblehead, how I told you that a girlfriend of mine is now sleeping with him and that we all kind of agreed that he has a little friend.
Okay.
A little tiny friend.
Okay. His member.
His member, yes.
Okay.
No one can see me like waving my little pinky in the air. So I've been getting a ton of feedback from people that have listened to the show and they're like, we can't believe you said that about him on the air. Uh-huh. Oh my God. And they're just
freaking out.
People
must think you're fucking crazy.
Oh my God. But they think it's like hysterical because it's like, just so, like, no one should say that, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why you're on radio, and they better get used to that.
But I think, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think revenge is sweet.
Yeah, there you go. You see, now you get to get back at all the people that hurt you in the past.
And so, one of my friends actually ended up cutting a link to the site and sending it to him in an anonymous email. Which I found absolutely hysterical.
Wow.
So
that's a good way to get back at somebody.
Though. Oh, yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's sweet revenge, Susan.
I know.
Wow. You're evil.
I know. And speaking of revenge, this is something else that I was thinking that maybe we should start doing. I was thinking maybe we should start playing little practical jokes on people.
Yes, we should.
What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
I remember when I was little, my mom would always listen to a show called Waking Up with the Wolf. And, you know, she'd be driving to work or something, miserable and exhausted in the morning. And then they would always, like, have these different pranks they would play. You know, they would call someone on the phone and, I don't know, make up some, like, ridiculous scenario. And then have some guy that's, like, a major golf fanatic, like, miss his tee time for an emergency thing that's happening at work. And then he gets there and, you know, nothing's happening.
I know. It's just that it seems like every radio station does that. But
it
is funny.
It's really funny.
I know.
I think it would be really good.
But we have to really think of good ideas.
I have one.
What, do you want to call people that we know?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yep. I think that would be for starters.
Wow.
Yeah,
I would love that.
I have one thing in particular on my mind, but I'm not going to tell you until we're off the air. And then you could tell me if it's really, really mean and evil or not.
So why are you teasing? Okay, you're teasing everybody.
I'm teasing everybody. But so you should start thinking about it too.
Okay. Yeah, I do. I do need to think about something like that.
Yes, yes. Cool. While we're stuck in traffic, miserable, you know, get the wheels in our heads turning.
Yeah. So, listen, I want to... I mean, I've got like so many ideas for the show, you know, that it's just, because so many things are happening, you know, it just keeps going in it and out of my head all the time and shit. But we're definitely going to like keep adding and improving and things like that, you know, because I love the show that we do. Mm. I really do, you know, and I want to include as much as we can in it. So, we're going to do all kinds of crazy shit, you know.
Good, good.
Which reminds me, you know what? We'll play a little game. We'll take a little break. And, and then we'll be back and play a little game with you.
Okay.
Hello? Oh. Sorry about that. Always pressing the wrong friggin' buttons.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Jerry. We're the ice cream making boobs from the Perky Peaks of Vermont to tell you about our new breast milk ice cream.
Thanks to PETA, Ben and Jerry's very breast ice cream gives a new meaning to the phrase cup or cone.
With new flavors like Chesty Garcia and chocolate nip cookie dough, you'll have your eye on two scoops.
Or try new C Cup Crunch or one of the new melon flavors in a push-up pop.
Our ice cream is so delicious, you'll want to stick your face in the middle of the bowl and go, that's good.
You said a mouthful there. So bust out of the ordinary ice cream routine and try Ben and Jerry's very breast.
The ice cream that's titillating.
If you're fed up with lame, uninspired talk radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for reverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
Intoxicating, if you know what I mean. No hesitating, slip away and see. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening. There's the rub, that's the catch, the whole done deal, the whole shooting match. What can I say, what can I do? Wear a different hat or pull a disappearing, act on you. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening, no. The sound surrounding, let it flow. I've got a green light, hey baby, I'm good to go. I don't need your anger, I don't need your pain, I don't need your answer, so I'm not listening.
On Sam and Susie in the Morning.
There's something very sensuous when a woman starts talking dirty, you know? You're not expected to in society,
it's,
you know?
It's taboo.
Yeah, kind of. Give us another one. Let's hear another one. A really nasty one.
I'm not asking for love. No long language afternoons of touching and caressing. I'm asking to fuck. To take the whole of you into my ride. To tear your cock from your body with my cunt. To bathe in your cum and lick myself clean. I'm not after love. I'm asking to fuck. No soft, lovely words and feelings shared. It's better to be your whore than your lover. I want to throw you, rip away your clothes, surprise you with indecency, shove my tits in your face and beg for you to suck them. Sailors have manners compared to me. I'm not asking for love. I'm asking to fuck and be fucked.
Ooh, wow.
I love it.
That was good. I'm actually turned on. You're definitely a cunning linguist, you know that?
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Right. So, you want to play a little game?
Okay. Sure.
This game, I kind of like it.
I don't know,
it.
Do I?
Well, I kind of like it. You have to guess the ages of famous people. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, people that have birthdays.
It has to be people
today.
I know.
Okay, no, it'll be people you know. And,
you have to be careful. I can't see through the paper.
Oh, you can?
Okay. Maybe.
All right. Okay, I'm going to hold it right here. And, okay, so these are birthdays today.
Okay.
Barbara Walters.
I'm going to go 63.
63?
I
she
don't
looks
know.
Like she's going to hit the fucking ground.
Okay, 83.
Soon. 77.
Okay, if I take the average of those two.
Look, I know that when you're in your 20s, everybody seems like, it's like you can't tell their ages when they're old, you know? They all seem to be 60, 70, 80. All right. Michael Douglas.
I'm going to go 63 with him too.
Wow, close, 64.
Okay.
64.
Good. I'm kind of close on
I mean,
on
now
one.
If you look at him and Barbara Walters, they're not the same age.
I don't even know what Barbara Walters looks like.
Okay.
So that was bad. I mean vaguely.
You must be the only one in the world.
I know. Leave me alone.
Okay. Mark Hamill, remember him from Star Wars?
Which one was he?
He was Luke Skywalker. Okay, you don't
know.
Oh,
I just saw all the Star Wars for the first time this New Year's Eve.
Did you?
Oh, I watched. Okay. I took acid and I watched all of them.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good way to watch Star Wars.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
I can't believe it. He's 56.
Oh.
Yeah, Mark Hamill. Okay, and then we have Heather Locklear.
52.
47.
Okay.
You're pretty close. But,
she would kill me for saying 52.
Yeah, she's actually younger than I am. But, I mean, she fucking looks still in her maybe early 40s, late 30s. I mean, she really takes care of herself, you know.
I don't think she's like the most, I mean, she's pretty,
yeah.
But there's something about her that's just not like that attractive to me.
Mm.
I don't know. The same with her and Jennifer Aniston.
Really?
I mean, they put themselves together well.
Right.
But I think, like, underneath it, it's just, like, the picture-perfect hair and, you know, the perfect makeup and the outfit, and they keep their bodies in good shape. But I really don't think they're very attractive people when it comes down to it.
Mm.
Like, I would never actually classify either one of them as, like, beautiful.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. You know, she used to work at the gym I used to go to when she was on Dynasty. And I remember looking at her, and she had, like, the skinniest legs, you know? I mean, it wasn't even sexy or anything.
Mm.
She was just very small, very tiny, looked almost underweight, you know?
Yeah.
And but she likes those bad boys, huh? I mean, she's been with Tommy Lee and Richie Sambora and who else? Who else is...
The guy from 2 and a Half, Charlie Sheen.
Was she with Charlie Sheen?
I think so.
Oh, yeah. She stole him from...
Denise Richards.
Denise Richards,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
and he's the baddest of them all.
But he just got married, right? And had a kid or something.
Did he get married?
Yeah.
Again?
Again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he's got a kid or something.
Wow.
But yeah, so I don't know who Heather is seeing right now. But
she was seeing David Spade for a while.
Yeah, that's right.
And
I mean, what
always,
a combination.
That
there,
always
huh?
seemed like the oddest little thing to me, because from just seeing David Spade in movies, he seems like a little pipsqueak.
He does.
I mean, he looks like I don't know, I just get the impression that he's like 5'2".
Yeah. He probably is, but he gets the chicks, man, let me tell you.
But when I see them together, like in magazines and stuff, like they look like they're the same height, and I always picture her... As like she always just seems like bigger to me.
No, so you see, I told you she is tiny. She's a tiny person.
Really?
Yeah, I mean not small, but
maybe
she's
it's
not
her big
either.
Hair.
Yeah.
That always just makes me like picture her that way.
Yeah.
Just always seems so huge.
Yeah, yeah, but she's no big woman by any stretch, you know.
Hmm.
So she's 47 years old. Did you ever? You were obviously too young for Dynasty.
Yes.
I don't even know if you were alive when Dynasty was on.
Probably not.
You were born when? In 82. Yes. 82, right? Yeah, Dynasty was in the 80s. But about that time, it's around that time that Dynasty was on, like mid, early to mid 80s.
Is that like a 90210 for people your age?
Fuck you.
What?
No, I was in my 20s then. And
I know, so it would have been like a 90210 for people your age.
No, it wasn't. It was about families. It's like a soap. It's a soap opera, primetime soap opera. That's what it is.
Oh.
So yeah, and about two very wealthy families in Denver, you know, and they're into oil and things like that. And it had John Forsythe and Linda Evans and Heather Locklear was there. And I know it's going right by your head. Okay, you see now I had to.
I'm sorry.
Now I have to wonder twice about bringing a co-host who's only 26.
I'm sorry. I told you I wouldn't know a lot of these things.
No, but that's
beginning.
Okay. I'm sure if you talk about some contemporary music, I wouldn't know it.
Like Annie DeFranco that I brought up the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I did happen to know her by some
I can't
crazy.
Believe you got sucked into going to a concert.
I did.
That cracks me up.
I did, but I had to leave in the middle. I mean, that music
I could just imagine you in
terrible.
The midst of like all these angry lesbians that are just like, you know, hardcore diking it out in the corner. And then there's Sam in there.
Well, I enjoyed that. That's the thing. That was the highlight of the evening is just watching the lesbians.
No way.
But most of them were not.
That's the scariest part of going to her shows because these are not pretty lesbians.
No,
no. These are scary, scary women.
Yeah. There were not many lipstick lesbians.
They're barely women.
Yeah.
So that would never. That's actually my least favorite part about going to her shows.
Yeah.
The bathroom is always so freaky. You see people just like slammed up against the sink or.
Really?
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yes.
That's cool.
It's a pretty fearful place.
Yeah, now you see a guy who would like to look at that.
No, I'm telling you, it's not that attractive when they're not that pretty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
that's
scary.
True. Just put a bag over their heads.
Ugh. I don't know. Then they've got hairy legs and hairy nipples, and I'm telling you, it's really not that attractive anyway. Trust me. I've been to like 10 of her shows.
Hairy legs?
Oh,
really?
Oh, yeah. Hairy armpits. I mean, they look like men with boobs and vaginas.
Wow. That's disgusting.
I know. You still find that sexy?
No, that would not turn me on.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. All right. Next one is Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know Will Smith, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I'm going to go 41.
Close. He's 40. Big 4-0 today.
Oh.
Yeah, you see, you're pretty good. You're getting there. Okay. Okay, then there's some people from The Sopranos I don't know. Catherine Zeta-Jones. Wow, Michael Douglas and her have the same birthday.
Really?
Yeah, they're both on the list.
What year? Okay, let's go. Oh, wait. So he is 60,
okay,
64.
Yeah, he's 64 and she is?
She is 39.
Wow, what the fuck is with you, man? Right on the nose. Good for you. You see, you would have won something if I offered you anything. Bridget Wilson, not Nielsen, Bridget Wilson.
Who the hell's that?
The wedding planner. I don't know. Who cares? Okay, nobody knows her. The hell with her.
Do you call Douglas, what's his name, Michael Douglas geriatric?
No.
Well, then why is my Michael geriatric?
He's 64.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you made him out to seem older. I thought he was like 68 or something.
No, 60 when we started dating, and then he's 64
no,
now.
The
but
60s.
We have the same birthday, too. That's how we met.
Oh,
actually.
Really?
Yeah, we're both
so,
born
no,
14.
So I have to correct myself. I mean, 60s is not old, I don't think.
No.
Not geriatric, anyway.
Mm. Geriatric is like wearing your diapers and walking around.
Yeah, I guess somebody wiping off your shit and stuff.
I do joke around with him though. Sometimes when I have him in the car and I'm driving, because he does drive like an old man. So
yeah.
I'm like, you have all these race cars and you don't step on it. I'm like, get over here, old man. You sit in the passenger seat.
Yeah.
And then we'll drive by like an old person's home and I'll pull into the driveway. I'm like, here we go. You're home. He's like, oh, stop it. Keep going. Fuck you.
So let me ask you this: what do you and a 64 years old or 65 year old have to talk about?
Everything, actually.
Really?
I talk to him probably every day, still,
oh, wow.
Even though I'm out here.
Really?
I don't know, we talk about everything that goes on in my life and the things that are going on in his life, and he tells me about all the famous people that are coming into his restaurant every day, and, you know, all the baseball games he goes to, and he's still friends with a lot of my friends back in Marblehead.
Cool.
So,
nice.
And he actually spies on all my ex-boyfriends for me and gives me the updates.
Really?
So yesterday, I called him crying. I spent actually all day crying yesterday.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I finally like slept in, and then And then Franz and I got in our fight, and then I had to go to my statistics class, and I stayed after class to ask the professor a question because I wasn't understanding something. And he's such a fucking douchebag. Mm. I'm sorry, I'm getting angry about him. But, you know, he says, "With pleasure, I give you F." On our first test, 25 out of 35 students got an F. And I was one of them, and I've never gotten an F in my life. Wow. So if that doesn't say bad teaching, I don't know what does. So now I have to get a tutor, which is a whole other thing. But so I was in class, and I was, like, struggling with something, so I was kind of getting upset, because if I don't get it, even after I'm trying to learn it, I get really upset. Yeah. And so I stayed after class to ask him a question, and he made me feel even dumber. So I just burst into tears. And so the first thing I do is I call Michael, and I'm like, my fucking Ukrainian professor, and he just makes me laugh. He's like, he's a commie asshole. I was like, you're right, he is a commie asshole. I'm like, you know, I don't feel so bad anymore. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. And then once, I'm just like, I'm a typical girl, because once I start crying once over like the littlest thing, then, like, for the rest of the day, I'm just fucked.
Really?
The littlest thing will just make me burst into tears.
Really?
By the time I got into biology class, I took the test, and I told you I stress out over tests, so I was freaking out over the test. And then we went into our biology lab for the next hour and a half of the class. And we had to do this thing on metabolism of mice. And so I had to weigh this pregnant mouse. and I have her in, you know, in the little scale thing, which is in, like, a little Tupperware container, uh-huh, so she can't jump out, so we can weigh her. Right. And so all of a sudden I take the lid off, the mouse comes flying out of the Tupperware container.
Really?
And hits the ground and starts bleeding out of her ass.
Wow.
And so then all of a sudden, you know, I'm hysterically crying because I think I, you know,
you hurt her.
I gave the mouse a miscarriage, and she's going to start having, like, all her little mice babies, like, too early, and they're going to be, you know, premature, and they're going to, I don't know. So then I was, like, hysterically crying.
Really?
And the professor's, like, thinking I'm just a wreck, because, like, the week before, I went into class crying over a sandwich.
Yeah. So. You see, that's the thing. Men don't know how to deal with crying women. It's, like, so unfair when you have an argument with a woman and she starts crying, because you can't argue anymore. That's it. You won, you know?
I know.
Yeah, you can't argue with that. How do you argue with a woman?
But, you know,
it
worked out to my advantage, because even though I was crying over, like, the pregnant mouse, he thought I was still just upset over, like, taking the test and freaking out and having anxiety. And so, you know, at 12:30 last night, I got my test grade. Everyone else in the class has to wait till Monday.
Yeah.
And, and now I can go through the weekend, you know, with my head held high.
There
very
you
proud
go.
Of myself.
I'm sure.
And it actually, I'm really excited. I have to tell you about this. So tomorrow night, after I'm done with work, my friends Cameron and Lindsay and I are driving to San Diego, and on the break I actually got a phone call from my cousin Beaver. Don't ask why she's called that, I don't know, but her name's Beaver.
Yeah.
Saying that we could spend the night at her house, because Saturday at 7:30 in the morning we're riding our bicycles to Mexico.
Really?
Yes.
And how far is that?
It'll end up being 100 miles round trip.
Round trip?
Yeah.
For you, that's not a lot.
Well, it's not a lot, but it's taxing on your ass. It really, you need to have padded vagina pants.
Really?
Yeah.
And tell me something. Do you think there's, like, hills and stuff there, or
there's
is it pretty
flat? There's a 10-mile hill area that's supposed to be pretty rough.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I can't imagine anybody wanting to do this and actually enjoying this. So that's why, I admire that, you know?
Yeah, so it ends up being Rosarita to Ensenada, and then back again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where? Oh, from San Diego, you're going to do this.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Gotcha. So you're going to drive down there and then take the bikes.
Yep.
For the weekend.
Isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I got to bring
take
my passport
pictures.
And oh, I will.
Yeah.
Make sure I don't get into some kind of trouble.
Yeah. Do you need a passport for Mexico?
Yes, Mexico really? And Canada. You definitely do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. Yeah. It is a different country. We just tend to think they're like the same country as us. You know.
I don't think you used to have one to get over there. But now I definitely think you do.
Yeah. Good.
I'm excited. I haven't been over there since I was 18.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I spent my 18th birthday there.
I'm not excited about not being in Mexico at all. Or actually, I'm excited about not being there.
I'm excited about not being
there. No. I mean, I fucked it up. Yeah, I'm not excited about going there at all.
You're not excited. So you don't want to go to Mexico
No,
ever.
I do not want to go to Mexico.
You don't like the mustaches?
Mustaches, the chiclets.
The chiclets?
Yeah.
What do you mean
remember
the chiclets?
Remember the kids that sell the chiclets on the streets there?
Oh.
The poor kids, yeah.
Oh, those poor little kids.
I know, and they tell you don't buy from them because then it keeps them from going to school, you know, if they succeed selling this stuff.
Oh.
So then they come to you and you don't want to buy anything, you know. So I started handing out $1 bills, but then they sort of like just flocked from all over the place and just converged on me.
I know. It's the same way in Zimbabwe. It's like people that would always come up to me, you know, because I'm like the only white woman there. And they always want to see what's in my purse. And so I'm like giving up. The only thing I actually had in my purse at that time you know, aside from like my wallet, were cocktail umbrellas. Because I had been working in the bar and I was carrying carrying supplies up, and I managed to stock my purse with cocktail umbrellas, and I forgot to take them out before I went to Africa. So I'm like, cocktail umbrella for you and one for you, because they just swarm you and they want everything.
Yeah,
you know, your money, but if you don't have money, they'll settle for the shirt on your back, literally. You're like, oh, okay. But no, it should be fun. I'm excited to go.
Yeah.
And Sean, the husband of the people I nanny for, told me to go an extra 5 miles to Palos Verdes. I don't know.
Palos Verdes.
Is that?
But that's in California.
No,
that's not.
Then that's
Mexico.
Not it.
No.
I'm messing it up. I don't remember what it is. Mm. And I can get like an awesome $10 Pacific lobster.
Really?
Yeah. He said there's an awesome little place like just 5 miles further.
Wow.
So I'm going to go hunt that down, because I love me some lobster. But I didn't know Pacific lobsters don't have claws.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So what do they have?
You just get the tail.
Wait a minute, but they have... You don't eat the claws.
No, they don't have claws.
They don't have claws?
No.
So how do they survive in nature?
I have no idea.
Wow, that's very interesting.
I know.
I don't know much about lobsters at all, but that sounds pretty weird.
I know. I think it's awful, because the claws are my favorite part, but
yeah.
I guess I'll have to
Are you sure they didn't just chop them off before they served it to you?
No, I'm very certain that they don't. Pacific lobsters don't have claws.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Learn something every day.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
I know. You went to South Africa, right? Mm-hmm. Have you been to Cape Town?
I never got the chance to go to Cape Town.
Really?
I really, really wish I had.
Yeah, the reason I brought it up is because you have two oceans connecting right there, you know?
Ooh.
And it's not like you can see a line, obviously, or anything. but yeah, you have the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean meeting down there. So that's pretty interesting, you know? Because I'm thinking of the lobsters, you know? What is it? When they go from the Atlantic to the Pacific, they lose their... You know, what if they're right on the cusp there?
Maybe they have one.
Yeah.
Aw, poor little things.
I know. But, yeah. There's a list here of the richest people in America.
Ooh.
And I wanted to... Yeah, it is in America, right? And so, check this out. Okay, number one, who do you think it is? Pretty elementary, right?
Gates.
Yeah, Bill Gates. $57
billion.
$57 billion motherfucking dollars.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
You know? Is that all invested in the stock market?
No, I'm sure not. But
holy shit, yeah, that's a lot of money.
I know. This is almost as much as Google is worth. You know, Google is actually about a few hundred... no, wait a minute. We're talking about billions here. Yeah, Google is, I think, worth about $30 billion or something like that.
$57
billion. Dollars.
Billion dollars.
Billion, not million. Billion.
Billion.
Dollars. Billion dollars.
Wow.
That's, I mean, can you imagine counting that high?
No.
Number two is worth...
Although if I had it, I would.
Yeah, you take the time.
Yes, exactly.
Second place is Warren Buffett. Of course, he's a financier. He's worth $50 billion.
Damn.
The third one is Lawrence or Larry Ellison from Oracle. He's a CEO. That's a high-tech company. Okay, they make database programs. $27
billion. Jeez.
Jim Walton, the son of Sam Walton from Walmart. $23 billion. Oh, and then his brother also has $23 billion. Alice Walton. Oh, so I guess they divided all the brothers and sisters, $23 billion each.
23 each?
Each.
For Walmart?
For Walmart.
Holy
the people,
shit.
Yeah. Actually, the kids of the founder. Let's see. I don't know who those are. Yeah, but the Waltons sort of like take up the whole thing here. There's actually four people got 23 each. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York. $20 billion.
I actually, back when I was graduating from high school, my best friend at the time, her father was best friends with Bloomberg.
Really?
And so he actually got us both jobs as his personal interns for the summer in England.
Really?
Yep. Back in 2000. And I ended up getting in a huge fight with my girlfriend and refusing to go to England for the summer. But looking back on it, it's like, that's one of the biggest mistakes I probably made in my life, where I could have been his like personal assistant for the whole summer.
Yeah.
Like, imagine that on a resume. That would have been so cool.
Oh, yeah. And your pocketbook, too. I'm sure he'd pay you handsomely.
Oh, yes. And, like, I would have had an all-expense-paid apartment in England, and, you know, it would have been an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
Instead, I decided to go back to upstate New York. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay, after Bloomberg, yeah. Who's next?
That's it. And then there's people we don't know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I thought Michael was rich. He's worth $500 million. But thinking about this, no, that's nothing. I'm going to call him after this and be like, you're poor.
Does he really want people to know how much he's worth?
He's been in Forbes. He's, you know.
Oh, really?
So it's out there.
How the fuck do you earn that kind of money? Well, I'm taking back all the geriatric stuff, uh-huh. Okay? Maybe he'll send me a paycheck or something. Help out a little bit.
I want to have him.
What does one person do with $500 million?
He does absolutely nothing with it.
Does he give some away? I'm sure, huh? To
yes.
charity and stuff. Yeah.
Whenever I would get like letters in the mail that were like, you know, oh, please support like the ASPCA, uh-huh. And my bleeding heart, obviously, I'm like, oh, the poor puppies, you know, they need dog food, and the kitties need litter. And so I would always like have no money at the time, so I would write them a letter back, and I'm like, dear ASPCA, please ask Michael, and I would give his name and his address for money, and mm-hmm. tell him Susie said so, and he'll give you a nice large fat check. And so then he gets the letter, and he's like, I'm going to kill you. He's like, stop making me donate to all of your charities. I already have enough of my own.
Yeah.
I'm the biggest one, of course.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think if I had that kind of money, I'd make it a full-time thing like Bill Gates. To give away money, you know, charity and stuff like that. Because there's nothing you can do with all that money. You know,
no.
You might as well help people, you know.
I
so,
know.
So it's amazing. It's amazing.
You know, he definitely does do a lot of helping, and he's got scholarships set up, and he pays for people to go to school. And
is that all self-made money?
Mostly from his father, and then he once the father passed away, he and his three
okay,
brothers.
Okay, so it's inheritance. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so I'm not that impressed. But that's okay. I mean, to be able to hold on to that much is pretty good, too.
They are very good at holding on to it.
Yeah.
And making more out of what they have. That's yeah. very impressive.
I know. Did you ever see this? I mean, they have it every once in a while of, like, when people call tech support for computer help, they have, like, all kinds of, like, the weirdest fucking questions and the stupidest questions.
Like what?
Okay, so
there's no such word as stupidest.
Did I say stupidest?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Now
because,
I sound like my mother.
But no, you know what? It's like everybody uses that word. So
I
we
know.
Might as well. Yeah. You see, I mean, it becomes like slang becomes mainstream. But you're right. The most stupid, okay?
Or the dumbest.
The dumbest, okay. One person is asking, why isn't my wireless mouse connected to the computer? Okay. The next one is, can you reset the internet for me? Okay. So
what's wrong with that?
No, I know, because you mean it's like my internet connection, but
yes.
The way they're saying it is like reset the internet, you know. Where can I get software to track UFOs?
Oh, okay. My God.
We
should have that lady call in.
Yeah.
With the crop circles and the
yeah.
her UFOs.
Help, a skunk ate my cable.
A skunk?
Yeah. My computer is telling me to press any key to continue. Where's the any key? Okay, that's an old one, but I've heard this many times.
No, but you know what? I understand, like, because sometimes, like, you get so frustrated, or at least I know I do. If I'm stuck looking at a computer or I'm doing something and it's not going the way I want, right. I get so frustrated that if the computer's like, you know, press any key, you're so blinded with your rage
yeah.
that, you know, you literally do. Just you're like, where's the fucking any
yeah.
key? I can't find it. Ah!
Yeah.
You, like, can't, like, separate, like, your logic from yeah. your anger at the time.
Yeah. You see, I get angry like that with computers. I get very angry with computers.
I used to. I'm trying not yeah. to anymore. Can I tell you the funniest thing I ever had happen with an internet company?
Sure.
I had just had my cable set up in my old house and my internet. And it was all coming, like, through, you know, the box thing that they put. And so all of a sudden, the very next day, I go to, like, push a button on the computer or on the TV, uh-huh. and all of a sudden I start hearing a tick-tock, 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 and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm like, what is that? And so I'm looking all over the TV, and then it starts going faster. It's like tick-tock, 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 and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, something's going to blow up. I'm like, what
yeah.
is this? And it's like tick-tock, 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 and I'm freaking out. So I call the internet company, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, there's something wrong with my connection. I'm like, listen to this. And I put the phone up to the ticking, and then it slowed down again, and it went to the tick-tock, tick-tock.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm like behind the TV, and they're like, unplug everything. So I'm unplugging everything from that's coming from the box, all the cables, all the internet connections, and it starts ticking again, tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. And the people, for the first time in my life, you know, normally they're like, it'll take us 2 months to get there, you know,
uh-huh.
we'll make an appointment 5 years from now, and we'll get you set up.
Yeah.
They're like, stay there, ma'am. You've unplugged everything and it's still ticking. They're like, we're coming up. We're sending someone over right now.
So, sounds like a bomb to us.
I know. They totally thought it was a bomb or something that was like in the equipment. And so as soon as the cable guy comes up the stairs, do you want to know what it was?
What?
I had a Scattergories box underneath all of this junk. And I had never played this stupid game, but it's got the timer in it.
Oh.
And so every time I would knock like the cable box, it would somehow knock the Scattergories box, which would make the timer start ticking. They thought I was the biggest fucking idiot in the world,
oh
and
that
I was playing like a practical joke on them. Like, you know, so
really,
how embarrassing is that? I'm like on the phone with them. I'm freaking out. I'm sweating. I'm in the corner of the room with like my hands over my head, like waiting for my house to blow.
And that should go in the record book somehow.
And it's the stupid Scattergories box. Unbelievable. So that that should be on the page with like stupid things people do.
Stupid things.
Okay, so what else? Can
you rearrange the keyboard alphabetically?
Now, apparently there's a different way that you can arrange the keyboard where it makes a lot more sense and it's just a lot more natural.
Right.
What is that called?
The way it's set up now is called QWERTY. Because of the QWERTY, right.
Apparently there's a way that's like much more natural and much easier and faster for people to use.
Yeah.
But because all the computers have been set up this way.
But do you know that this goes back to typewriters? Not,
I know. Yeah. It would be impossible like to change it again and make everyone in the world like relearn.
Right. And the reason they did it for typewriters is because they try to figure, because remember with typewriters, they had like little arms with the letters on them. So every time you press a button, this little thing comes up and it would get caught. So I guess letters that you type, usually together, they try to separate them, you know. So those things wouldn't conflict with each other. So yeah, and that's how we got this keyboard. And you're right. I mean, it has absolutely no logic to it whatsoever.
I have computer geek friends, like one in particular in Canada who's like completely reconfigured his keyboard. And so every time I go to use his computer, I'm like, Trent, what the fuck? I'm like, I'm like, you're just crazy, dude. I'm like, for the love of God.
Yeah, why would somebody take the time to do that?
Wow. He is, this person in particular is so brilliant.
Really?
So brilliant. Like, he's getting his PhD right now. I don't even know in what. I don't even go there. Because I probably can't even understand, like, the title of what he's doing. He's so brilliant. Like, sometimes I think his brain just might spontaneously combust. Like, I don't know how he gets through life. Like, he needs to do a lot of drugs to kill brain cells to bring himself down to, like, the rest of our level.
Yeah.
Or else he, like, just can't interact with people.
Lower his IQ.
Yes. Like, he needs to take, like, 10 tabs of acid every day for the rest of his life to just kind of, be a little bit more normal.
I know. Is he nerdy?
Totally nerdy, but he's totally hot in the hot, nerdy way.
Oh, really?
I just adore him. He's totally sweet. But it's funny because when I get fucked up and I see him, I look at him and I laugh and I poke and I'm like, do math. I'm like, do math.
Do math.
And he gets so mad at me. He's like, I am not some toy to just, you just can't use me like that to do math whenever you want. Don't poke me like that, Susie. No.
You're mean.
I know.
Anyway, the next one. My daughter is locked in the bathroom. Can you pick the lock? And this
is for tech
support. They called computer tech support for that.
What?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
Well, they
call 911.
Can you tell me the weather forecast for next year? And can you install cable TV on my PC?
Well, that's not... I kind of like the last one.
Yeah.
You should be able to get cable TV on your PC.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make sense?
You can. You
really?
Can. Yeah. All you need is a special adapter.
Well, see, that's not so dumb then.
No, I guess not.
Huh.
I don't know. But the funniest one, and this is a very old one, where people confuse the CD-ROM drive with a drink holder. So they would call and they would ask...
A drink holder in a computer?
Yeah, so how do I get my computer's coffee cup holder to come out again? You know, the tray, the CD-ROM tray?
Oh, no. Oh, no. People use that as a coffee cup holder?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. You've got to be kidding me.
I know. Somebody must have had to make this up. I can't imagine anybody said that.
You know what? Actually, I'm remembering that from my Photoshop class last semester. The professor told us the same thing, that when CD-ROMs first came out, people had no idea what they were, and they thought they were cup holders.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That is so funny.
Cup holders. It's crazy.
Oh. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. You want to hear some crazy story? Okay, this guy... In South Okay, in West Virginia, sorry. A man was charged with battery for allegedly passing gas towards a police officer.
What?
Okay. Yeah, so this guy farted on the cop and he got arrested. So
Oh my God.
So check this out. I mean, you got to read the details here. Okay. So the authorities say that the incident began when a 34-year-old Jose Cruz was pulled over for driving without headlights and taken to a police station after failing three field sobriety tests. According to the criminal complaint, a police officer was preparing a breathalyzer test when Cruz lifted his leg, passed gas loudly, and fanned it toward the officer.
Oh, no.
Cruz admits passing gas, but claims it wasn't directed at the officer. The suspect says he was experiencing an upset stomach at the time, and police wouldn't let him use a bathroom. In addition to the battery charge, he was also slapped with DUI and two counts of obstruction for being uncooperative.
Oh, my God. Those obstruction charges are nasty.
Yeah.
I mean, Franz actually got one when he was arrested for his DUI on his bike. Mm-hmm. Because the female cop had a hard time putting the bracelet on him. That added another, his identification bracelet.
Right.
You know, and he totally did not obstruct justice. He was letting her do it, and she was just, like, pretty inept at her job. But apparently, it added $5,000 to his bail, that obstruction charge.
Really?
Yeah, and if they hadn't dropped it, thank God, like, that's something that stays in your record forever. And they don't say what in particular you were doing to be, like, obstructing justice.
Mm.
They don't say, you know, wasn't cooperating while I was putting bracelet on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it could be anything.
Yeah, so it's very subjective.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Not so good.
Yeah.
I can't believe they charged him with battery for that. That's ridiculous. That's ludicrous.
Farting on a cop.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I know. I mean, how can you, you know? Anyway, we got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie.
Yeah. How you doing?
We're doing fine. How are you?
Good. What kind of show is this?
I don't know. You tell me.
You know, I've been listening for like a little while now. I got to be honest with you, okay?
Yeah.
I've been listening. I don't really know what I'm listening to. You know?
Yeah.
Like, cause it sounds, it's good.
Yeah.
But I don't get it.
Okay, what don't you get? We'll explain it to you.
Okay, so, like, your guy, right? Then you got that girl over there, right?
Yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of talking.
Right.
Yep.
You know, there's, not a lot of laughing. But there's a lot of talking. All the whole way through. I'm sitting here. I'm laying in bed. I'm listening like I normally do. I don't get it. What are you guys trying to do over there?
What do you want us to talk about? It is talk radio.
Yeah, talk. I get that. Don't get me wrong.
Then
here.
You're pretty smart if you guess that.
No, I mean,
so it's not funny enough for you.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Oh,
you
really?
Understand?
Yes.
I'm a fan of the show.
Yes.
But I'm sitting here this morning. I'm listening. It's just not working for me. You gotta do something here.
Okay, give us an idea.
Listen, when you're on the radio, you gotta do things, okay? You knock it out. You put it out there a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Push just a little bit. Push just a little bit. You know what I'm saying here?
No, I don't. Actually, why don't you be a little more specific? What would you like me to push?
With you. It's not funny. You gotta make it funny.
Okay.
If it's gonna be on the radio, people. Well, how are you supposed to wake up in the morning if this is what you're listening to? You understand what I'm saying?
You absolutely. So why do you listen?
I'm a fan of the show.
But
I'm
why? A it's a shitty show.
I'm a fan of the show.
But it's a shitty show.
I like the show.
Mm.
I like what you do.
Okay.
You got a nice voice too. You know, I wake up in the morning. I'm like, hey, it's that guy, Gavouche, you know? Hey, it's that freaking guy again.
There you go, with
Gavouche,
the accent.
You know?
Yeah.
But then,
what's Gavouche mean?
You gotta push a little bit, you understand?
Okay, we'll
work
push.
Work harder, man. You gotta work a little harder.
I understand. Well, what
do you want?
Just a little bit.
No, we'll take
what
it
What more do
heart.
You want us to talk about? Give something
okay,
in particular.
Okay, this is what I want you to talk about. Okay?
Okay, go ahead.
You had girl, right? There was that girl there before.
A girl?
Right? Yeah, you remember you had like a girl. Weren't you dating? Are you married or something?
Um,
go ahead.
Not the girl on the what the Yeah, the guy that's on the radio right now, this guy.
Yeah.
What are you married, right?
Yes. Yes, I'm married.
Okay,
what's
so
up?
Talk about your wife a little bit.
Okay.
I want to hear more. Okay?
You want to hear about my wife. Okay. Why don't you tell us about...
I want to hear about your wife. I want to hear about the things that are happening that are funny, not just the normal stuff. You can't make a show where it's just nothing with the normals.
That's true.
Boom, 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 boom. It's radio, for God's sake.
You're right. So
I'm gonna fall asleep here. You see what I'm saying?
Would you like to be a consultant to the show?
A consultant
to the show? Yes. Maybe you can consult us on how to be funny because we don't know.
Yes.
No. I'm not saying you don't know how to be funny. Mm. I'm saying today.
Oh, today we're not funny. Oh, I see.
Just push
today.
It a little more. That's what I'm saying. I don't have time. I can't be a consultant. I'm on the job here.
Okay.
It's an early morning. Yeah. I have work to do now.
What kind of work do you do?
I listen all the time. What's that?
What kind of work do you do?
I'm the general contractor for a building.
In Los Angeles?
Yes, in Los Angeles.
Excellent.
Wow.
I listen all the time.
Really?
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, what's your name?
All the time.
What's your name?
Huh?
What's your name?
What?
Your name.
Michael.
Hi, Michael.
This is Michael.
Yeah. How you doing, Michael?
Listen,
well, you're a friend of the show.
I'm good. What? Yeah. Huh?
You're a friend of the show now.
I am a friend of... Hang on a second. Get it down there! Get it! I gotta go. I can't...
Okay, I have no patience for this guy. Yeah.
What kind of accent was that?
Only if he tried to be funny. That's a New York accent, pretty much, isn't
really?
It?
Really?
Yeah, didn't it sound like it to
Not
you?
Not really.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That just sounded kind of obnoxious. I don't know.
No, I think he even called from New York. But yeah, I mean, good. We want some feedback.
Absolutely.
You know? And I think he just called for the sake of calling, obviously. But okay, but well, maybe sometimes we're not funny. What can I tell you? You know,
you try and be all serious and talk about depressing things like the depression we're going into. And
I know, and he wants us to talk about funny things like my wife. My wife is not funny. Okay, there's nothing funny about it.
Oh.
Okay, let's take one more quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the night. He knew the answers she'd hoped to find. It'll just take a little time. Just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. So high that they lifted up the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Avoiding the shadows, well they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Oh, in the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Do-be-do-be. Do-be-do-be.
and unusual were no big event. Only time and the way that it was spent. They missed the signs to walk away. Circumstances made them stay. Much too late to break away. Oh, they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, and they loved themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end, there's nobody to blame. No, there's never anyone to blame. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground, they loved themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim.
CC plates on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's better than sucking cock. Oh my.
Oh my.
Oh my.
So, okay, so let's talk about Lindsay Lohan now, okay?
Oh, goodness.
Now, she's apparently coming out and says that she's been seeing this girl for a long time. She says she loves her and everything, right? I mean, did you hear that? And but Lindsay Lohan's publicist is saying that no, she didn't really come out of the closet. You know, it was easy to assume that she came out because she told a syndicated radio show earlier this week she's been in a relationship with a DJ friend for a very long time, right?
Yeah.
But now he says that she was only claiming that she's a close friend with Ronson. So
I don't know. I kind of have mixed feelings on the way lesbian relationships like that pan out. Because like I really don't like. I think Sam is really gay, but I don't think Lindsay really is.
Right. Right. She's just experimenting, probably.
Just experimenting. You know, Sam, I think, is probably offering her like a safe harbor, kind of.
Yeah.
In the midst of like all the chaos and everything that's going on in her life.
I'm sure. It's not for the looks, you know. For
yeah. Sure. definitely not.
But how do we know that, or why do we suspect that she's more than just friends with her? Just because the other one is a lesbian?
Well, because she's kind of like a self-proclaimed sex addict. And so, you know, we haven't seen her going around with any guys lately, so we got to assume that she's getting it somewhere. So.
Did she ever say that? She's a sex addict?
She didn't, like, specifically say it, but she just has a very addictive personality. And whether it's, you know, she gets very, very addicted to things very easily, whether it's sex, whether it's drugs, whether it's drinking, whether it's the whole party scene. And now, you know, she's staying sober and she's addicted to this girl and this relationship.
No.
So that's kind of how I see it anyway.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
Well, I can imagine them both in bed.
Oh, God.
I'm telling you.
I know. You've got such a vivid imagination over there.
Yeah.
You just love the lesbians.
Yeah, well, what do you
all
do?
All men
you
know? Do. I don't know what it is about
I'm
it.
Telling you. I told you. You know, two vaginas is better than one. That's what it boils down to. And when they rub together, it's even more fun.
When you put it that way, that sounds gross. that you don't make it rubbing vaginas together does not sound sexy at all.
Really?
No.
Well, then you haven't seen some lesbian positions, I guess.
Oh, I've seen quite a few.
Okay.
But just the way you're saying it just makes it...
I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. Did I make it seem dirty and stuff and cheap?
No, you just made it seem abrasive.
Abrasive.
Yes, yes. Mm. And not sensual and
okay,
sexy.
Okay, so how would you say it?
I don't know.
How would you describe that act of rubbing one vagina against the other?
I prefer a knee to a vagina, personally.
Do what?
A knee.
A knee to the vagina.
A knee to the vagina, yes.
Okay. But,
you have a lot more control with it.
No, I'm sure. But this is not about that. I think it's about just putting your genitals together, no?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it in porn movies. I don't know if
a lot of the
really
things
that
you see in porn are usually all just acting.
Yeah, maybe they don't do that, you know? But I mean, what if you wanted to rub clits together? That's the way you'd have to do it, sort of like scissor each other, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just seems too wet down there for all that. I don't know. Maybe I'm definitely not. I'm definitely not a lesbian anymore.
Too wet.
Been there, done that. Next.
Wet is good.
Wet is good, but too wet. I don't know.
Yeah. You get too wet sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's good. You're a healthy woman.
I am. Strong, healthy woman.
Good.
Very good sexual appetite.
You won't need any KY for years to come.
No, no. Although Franz does try and sneak up on me from behind with it on occasion.
Really?
Yes. And I'm like, don't you even think about it.
Really?
Don't point that thing at me down there. No, 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 no. I don't know. He's got that fixation down there, too.
Yeah, I don't know what is
anal
it with
sex.
Some guys. Yeah, yeah.
Makes me wonder. Actually, I should be careful because his dad's been listening to the show recently.
Yeah. So, you think he doesn't know what he has on his hands?
I don't know.
He knows his son pretty well.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But you know what? The bottom line, I mean, he seems like a good person. Sure he is. Otherwise, you wouldn't hang out with him.
I definitely, I definitely choose some interesting characters in my life, to say the least.
Yes, you do. That's why you owe us a book or two.
Oh, God. Book at 26, that's too soon.
Too soon.
Way too
soon.
Well,
no. I mean, you got to wait a while, yeah.
Start a couple chapters
now. A few more adventures, yeah.
Yes.
You still haven't done everything.
Definitely
not. Still stuff to do.
Got to get married, got to have kids, got to settle down.
There you go. Yeah. Tell me something. Did you ever, when you were a little girl, did you ever play with dogs?
Dogs?
Yeah, like sexually?
No.
No? Okay, because, I mean, I've known, not a
lot.
Oh,
my God.
But a few women that had had their dogs lick them and stuff, you know, when they were little girls, you know, they discovered it.
Well, I didn't ever do this purposefully, but I did tell you once upon a time when I randomly acquired my Chihuahua, drunkenly in Beverly Hills, like years ago, I brought the dog home, and, you know, the first thing I did was, like, hop in my bed and, like, get out my vibrator, and the dog dives under the covers and just starts going to town licking down there. But it freaked me out. I was, like, horrified. So I picked the dog up, and I literally, like, threw her against the wall. And I'm like, oh, my God, and gathered the covers, like, around myself, you know, to cover myself up.
Yeah.
So I had an incident like that happen. But I'm telling you, this dog.
But it's not like you planned it.
I did not plan it.
And you tried to get off.
It totally took me by surprise and freaked me out.
Wow.
But this dog was addicted to sex. I don't know what it was, or if the mom had actually like trained the original mom had trained the dog to do this. But actually, when I was in Marblehead with Michael, I was supposed to go and see my dog. But he reminded me of a story that I told with the woman who has the dog now. She's about 50, you know, hardworking single mom. But she, for fun, she likes to race sailboats, and so she had her crew of you know, other like 55-year-old men over at her house for a little barbecue. And so I show up and hammered Susie, you know, like grabs a glass of wine, like right in the middle of the party. And I ask her in front of all of these men, you know, that she kind of just knows, like on a racing level, kind of a professional level. I'm like, so does a dog try and lick your vagina too? And she, the look on her face, like the color just drained out of her face. And she was like, what? No. Like, it does what to you?
Yeah.
So apparently, I don't know if I just caught her off guard and she likes it.
Yeah, I think she was shocked because it happened.
But she seemed adamant that it didn't.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was just because I put her on the spot in front of all those men asking her if the dog's like, look at her pussy.
Yeah.
But Michael,
what would you have said?
But Michael was sitting there next to me with this look of horror on his face. He's like, oh my God, could someone say, like, you know, have some reserve for God's sake, Susie. But yeah, that dog was totally addicted to sex. And then if I would try and lock her out of the room while I was having sex, it would sound like an elephant's trying to like bang the door down and get into the room. And then, oh my God, talk about cleanup duty if that dog was around.
Wow.
Ew. She got a lot of protein, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I was reading this story earlier, though, that you'd like to hear about this one. This man threw out his wife's cat out the window. Because
what?
He urinated on his briefcase.
Oh, what floor did he live on?
I don't know, but...
well, it makes a difference. Is he on, like, the 100th floor of an apartment
in New
York City?
I don't know. Cats, it doesn't matter how high you throw them from. They survive.
I beg to differ. My little foster kitties, I've seen them jump from some high heights, and some of them have landed on their
really?
Heads.
So you think it's just a myth? That a cat will always land on its feet?
It should. It should always land on its feet. I think there are a couple exceptions out there. But
we should experiment with that sometimes.
Okay, I've got to tell you this. It's too funny. So I took most of the furniture out of my old apartment, obviously, and I moved into my new apartment. But I left my couch at my old apartment so Franz's dad can sleep in the couch.
Right.
So Franz has nothing left to sleep on, but my foster kitties are still at this house, keep in mind. So Franz took two of the couch cushions and kind of laid them together against the wall, made a bed, and I left him a pillow. Mm-hmm. And he's using my kitty blanket as his blanket, so he's totally got a makeshift bed in the corner. He tells me he woke up the other day because Mr. Nunu peed on his head.
Oh my God!
The cat's now peed on his head, on his pillow. But what does he do? I'm like, all right, Franz, tell me the truth. Are you still sleeping on that pillow right now? Because he was talking to me after this happened. He's like, yep. He still was sitting there with his head, like, sleeping on the pillow after the cat peed on it. And then the cat peed on his favorite jacket that's never been washed, the thing with all the beer bottle caps.
Well, don't be amazed if you go home and your cats are slaughtered.
Oh, well, I'm taking them away today. But I just couldn't fucking believe it. And he's like, the cat fucking peed on my head. What would you do if that happened?
Oh, man. I would fucking butcher that cat.
Oh,
like, there's
man.
No tomorrow.
Poor little
thing.
But
that's why I don't live with animals, you know, because these things do happen, you know?
I know, but they're so little, like, you know,
yeah,
they can't, like, have control over themselves all the time. Like, he probably... And then I said, Franz, well, what does that say about you and your personal hygiene that the cat thought you were a litter box? Seriously.
That's true, because cats only pee in, like, litter box, or when they're outside, they kind of, like, find a place or something, right?
Exactly.
They wouldn't, like, just pee in the middle of the room.
Nope.
Wow.
They So what does that say about your personal hygiene, baby, if the cat is using your head to piss on?
Wow.
Ugh. So now my boyfriend smells like cat pee.
And you say boyfriend so proudly.
Oh, it's terribly sexy. What can I say?
Yep, it is. And did you hear of David Blaine, the magician, hanging upside down in New York?
Where was he? What was he hanging from?
I don't know what he was hanging from, but there's probably like a platform. Yeah, there was a platform or something, 44 feet from the ground. And but, you know, I mean, how can he, 60 hours upside down.
How many?
60.
60. Oh, Jesus.
How the fuck? I mean, you know, did you ever... I mean, I'm
that
sure you've
like
been
torture.
Upside down before, and you get
the
such pressure.
The blood rushes to your head.
Right. You get such pressure on your head and stuff.
60 hours. Oh,
but
my
do you
God.
Think it's dangerous? I mean, do you think something can... You can damage something doing this?
I'm sure.
Really?
I'm surprised he hasn't, like, burst to, like, blood capillaries in his head.
Yeah.
Ugh. Why would he
I know,
do that,
what the
though?
Fuck?
That doesn't even sound...
He does all kinds of crazy shit.
That does not sound like a good time to me by any by any stretch of the imagination.
No. Well, they don't do it for good time. I mean, that's what these magicians do, you know.
Did he practice? Do you practice hanging upside down for like hours on end?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Did he eat while he was up there like that?
I'm sure he did, yeah. Yeah.
Well, if he... did he go to the bathroom while he was up there?
I'm sure.
How do you go to the bathroom? How do you go to the bathroom upside down?
I don't know. Maybe he had a colostomy bag or something.
Oh.
A catheter. No, I don't know. I don't know. But
These are the questions I want to know.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's been doing all kinds of crazy shit like this, and I mean, when he was in London, in underwater for a few days or something, yeah, you could ask yourself how he went to the bathroom there. So I don't know. I don't know, but I'm sure they've got ways.
No, thank you. Not for me. My lungs start getting all tight thinking about drowning again, just like the lady we had on the show the other day.
Yeah.
Those books really sound good, by the way. The girl we had on...
Oh, yeah. The one that called in.
Yes. I'm really excited. I need to go get her book, Traveling with an Eggplant.
Yeah.
I actually had a friend or someone, actually I don't even know who this person is, they tuned in and they were listening and they sent me a message being like, was that book about personifying an eggplant? Like, I'm going to have to go back and listen to the rest of the show because I don't really remember.
Yeah. But you know what? I went to her website afterwards.
Yeah.
And she's pretty hot looking.
Really?
Yeah.
She had a great voice.
If I'd known that, I would have...
pressed for her to come in the studio.
Yeah, gone in different directions too. Yeah.
But well, that's why we should do our homework first.
Yeah.
Research these people.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I know. I've just got so much free time that I think maybe I'll do that.
Maybe.
That'll help fill my time.
Exactly. Well, you could do it on your iPhone while you're stuck in traffic, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
That'd be good. Maybe not. Maybe I should put the Newsweek down while I'm driving, too.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So you're going to Mexico. When are you leaving? Friday or
tomorrow.
Saturday?
Tomorrow night, yeah.
Tomorrow night.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm. And then we'll be back in town Saturday night.
Wow.
So.
What if it's really hot? Can you still ride okay?
Drink more water.
Yeah, but 90, 100 degrees. I mean,
we'll be fine.
Wow. Susie, I mean, you yeah.
That's
an extreme sport in my book, you know, when you start doing that.
I know.
You know?
I have no preparation for this one. You know, I haven't done a long-term bike ride like this in a long time. Mm-hmm. The only training I ever had for the 50-mile bike marathon my dad and I would do every year, we would always do the 50-mile five-borough bike ride in New York City. And so I would have zero preparation or training going into it except drinking. And so I would be out clubbing in New York City until 6 in the morning, you know, doing coke all night, like stuck in a subway and like meeting my dad at the start line with other 50,000 other New Yorkers. My bike would have a flat tire, and then, you know, he's like, for Christ's sake, Susie, oh my God, get your shit together. And I'm like, fine, Dad, here I come. Yeah. You know, still wasted. But I would always be able to finish those just fine.
Wow.
You know, 10 miles into it, it's like, oh my God, I'm like starting to sober up. Another 10 miles into it, oh my God, I think I'm going to puke. Another 10 miles in, it's like, taxi, take me to the finish line.
Wow.
But yeah,
well, take some pictures on the way and stuff, you know, and...
It's good when you have a lot of other people around you, like, encouraging you and, I don't know, a lot of more experienced, like, hardcore bikers. Not that I'm not, but, you know, people that train to do this kind of thing.
So are you guys staying overnight in Mexico?
No.
So you're coming back the same day?
Yes.
Doing another 50 miles?
Yes.
The other way?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm fucking impressed.
Well, don't be until I make it back alive.
Yeah. Well, you were in the army. I mean, you've learned to take some punishment.
Oh, definitely.
Right?
Definitely. Definitely did. Oh, never again. What was I thinking?
What were you thinking?
What was I thinking?
Yeah.
In this day and age, to join the military.
Oh, yeah. But it sounded good at the time, so you did it.
Really did.
Yeah. All right, well, this is the end of the show, and we apologize to Michael
for not being funny,
and maybe tomorrow we can try and be a little funnier.
We'll try and spice things up.
Yeah, and we'll probably have, hopefully we should have a guest tomorrow. So, I mean, sometimes I just can't understand how people can, like you can have two guests scheduled and they both cancel or something happens or you move them around or whatever, you know. Fucking I'm tired talking about fucking guests all the time. All right. So well, have a great time. So
wish me happy moving. Hopefully gonna get it all done today.
Yeah, you're gonna get all the animals out of the house.
Yes,
that's cool. And
except for the Franz, he can stay.
Yeah, that animal can stay. All right, everybody, thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back here same time tomorrow.
You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet.